Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Auto Central show, SA's number one motoring podcast. My name is George Minnie, your host, and I have with me, as usual, Wandi Lesishi. How's it, Wandi?
Not too bad. I'm glad we're back together, looking at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
well,
I get
far
to stay
apart.
In your eyes. Yeah, no, of course.
Far apart. Auto Traders, Auto Central show, and South Africa's number one motoring marketplace. And where can we find the podcast?
So every single Monday at 9 a.m. you can find our voices on cliffcentral.com. But if you want to look at us, we also on the Auto Trader SA YouTube channel. And if you want to listen to us later on, maybe you can't catch the show live or on the video stream, you can also find us on Spotify as well as Apple Music. So
everywhere. All right.
So just Auto Central, you'll find us.
Yeah, because Google Auto Central. There you go. Google it. You'll be fine. All right. In today's episode, we will be unpacking the legend that is the diesel engine.
Yeah.
The dirty diesel engine, as some people believe it to be. And later on in the show, we'll be joined by our very own expert journalist, Martin Pretorius, to review the polarizing BMW 4 Series. Mm-hmm. And then specifically the all-new BMW 4 Series 420D. And lastly, we'll be answering some of your motoring questions sent via our Ask Auto Trader service. So let's get straight into it. The diesel episode is what we're coining this one. And it's supposed to be a wonder-fuel dying.
Yeah, no. I can almost vouch for that. I've never actually thought that diesel was like an amazing fuel. But when I did some research, I found some interesting things, which, you know, it makes sense. It makes sense in the time that it came through.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, I mean, I did a little bit of my own kind of Googling of diesel engines. And it turns out that both fuels are made of mineral oil. They're both made of mineral oil. But the refining methods are different.
Yeah.
And it seems like a diesel is easier to refine than normal petrol.
Uh-huh.
That's what the first thing is. And then it contains, however, more pollutants.
Yeah. And that's, I think, is the problem with diesel.
But it's more efficient.
Mm.
It's more efficient in its combustion. So, you know, so while it's highly efficient compared to petrol, it contains more pollutants, which I think is the thing that we're talking about. We're all trying to get away from this dirty environment to a cleaner environment.
Yeah. I mean, last week we spoke about the idea of the fourth automotive revolution.
Yeah.
So this idea that we're moving away from any sort of combustion engine because it's not clean, it's not efficient, it's not sustainable. And diesel and I guess petrol were at the end of their lifeline currently.
Yeah.
So is it dying? I think just the nature of where mobility is going, it is.
Yeah.
But I think diesel has almost catalyzed the idea of maybe we need to find something that's a bit different.
Well, electric vehicles, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but it was touted as a wonder fuel before. You know, it's cost effective, it burns less. So you got to ask yourself, in the world of diesel versus petrol engines, if diesel is more efficient and lets you go further, okay, while it's dirtier, is it kilogram for kilogram dirtier in terms of the amount of efficiency you get out of it than petrol?
I'm going to put myself in the seat of a consumer or someone who just drives or just, you know, the regular Tom, Dick and Harry. And
which one are you, Tom, Dick or Harry?
I am Dick. but when I was younger and when I was growing up, I always assumed or perceived diesel as like this dirty smog.
Fuel. Yeah.
I always thought of it.
Because it comes out of trucks.
Yeah, it comes out of trucks. It comes out of, you know, buildings. It's just this idea that this is the dirtiest fuel. But when I go on a road trip, when I use my parents' bucky, it's efficient. It works well. Mm. And it's not as loud as I perceived it to be. And it goes further and it's cheaper and it works.
Yeah.
So I think that's the kind of the struggle that OEMs and people are kind of battling with. And then you have this idea that, you know, there's the sustainability and the research that's come out that's proven that it's not the best.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know, but air pollution kills 3.3 million people prematurely every year. I don't know how they calculate this. But I mean, can you imagine 3.3 million people dying prematurely from air pollution? It's more than HIV. It's more than malaria. It's more than the flu. Okay. And with emissions from diesel engines among the worst culprits, apparently.
Yeah.
And this was a joint investigation by The Guardian and Greenpeace that showed that hundreds of thousands of school children across England and Wales are being exposed to illegal air toxicity levels in the hands of none other than diesel vehicles. Talking about air pollution, did you read about the sulfur problem we have in Gauteng?
I did. Actually, like literally before I came into the studios. In fact, my sister sent me a message saying, hey, just be careful when you're outside, try and filter the air inside the room, because, you know, this is ironically the same sort of problem, is that you don't see the toxicity. You just get in your car and it drives well.
Yeah.
But there's things that are literally in the air that you can't see that are not so great for your body.
For your health. I mean, like, what the hell? My neighbor has air purifier meter. He can measure the purity of the air in his house.
Yeah.
And he sent me a screenshot this morning. No. And he said to me, the air purification or whatever it is not so great this morning.
Yeah.
So it was on something like 0.7. That was the number on, I don't know what that means in relation to his,
what's going on in the world. Yeah. And it tells us that there's something that needs to happen with regards to addressing the issues of diesel. But look, let's be honest. We are transitioning into a world where we only identifying these issues as they're happening. And it currently works. And for a lot of things, to be fair, there's a lot of pros that come out of using diesel engines.
Well, what are the benefits?
Well, the first one is that you get great mileage. That's the main.
How much great mileage? I mean, like 1 kilometer more?
20 to 30% more than petrol. So, based on research, that's kind of what, you know, governments as well as OEMs have pushed.
1/3 more. Okay. So that kind of stands to reason that you're using 1/3 more petrol to get the same distance.
Exactly.
Okay. So you got to ask yourself, is it more than 30% cleaner? If you're burning more, 30% more petrol.
Yeah, that's the main question, right? Like, you know? That's, you kind of, you have to balance, you have to find a balance between getting distance as well as ensuring that it's clean, or cleaner at least than what we currently have. And that's why it just doesn't work. But I have a little bit of a bias towards petrol, I won't lie.
Well, it's because we all grew up in a world where diesel was dirty.
Yeah, yeah. But OEMs have kind of changed and identified that. But there's things that happen, such as Dieselgate, which happened in 2015 with VW, when we found out that the exact same people are telling us that diesel's cleaner, is not necessarily the case. And I think specifically with VW, they've done a lot to kind of turn that idea around. I think they've learned from their mistakes. And I think they're doing what they can to ensure that what we do have is what they tell us, or it's efficient as what it is, as well as good for our health. It's problematic, but we have to do what we can until we get to a point where EVs are in our hands.
Well, diesel delivers better fuel economy. It's more efficient. It's touted as the most efficient energy dense fuel available today.
Do you believe that?
That's what the experts say.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it doesn't require a spark to ignite, whereas petrol requires a spark. So it doesn't have any spark plugs or distributors, and it doesn't need ignition tune-ups on a car. So it's more rugged, which means that it's probably less prone to braking, the diesel engine. It'll drive for much longer than a petrol engine, apparently.
Have you ever driven a diesel engine?
I do currently.
And what's your from experience, what is your perception?
A diesel engine is surprisingly less noisy naturally than a petrol engine.
Huh. Okay.
So if you think about diesel generators today,
yeah,
they're quieter than petrol generators.
Yeah.
We just put fancy exhausts on things to well, some people put fancy exhausts to make the bloody car louder. The guy that, if you are listening to me and you drive past my house with your loud exhaust, so many flipping hell, I want to find out who this dude is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's apparently spent like 5,000 rand to get his exhaust to snap, crackle and pop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I believe it, and I say do more because I love that.
Oh no, Wendy. You're kidding me.
I love it. I love the sound of it. We did this last week and I told you how much I love the sound of engines and understand
that's
why.
That's not a sound of an engine. That's the sound of an exhaust.
The sound of the entire package.
Ah, okay.
It's music to my ears. But I hear what you're saying. And more noise means more dirt and more pollutants. So, you know, back to the topic of, is this fuel dying?
Well, I think it's dying because of the green drive, you know, our drive to become a cleaner, greener world and to save the planet. So I think it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But the fact of the matter is diesel does provide a lot more torque on the drive shaft.
Mm-hmm.
It is a more efficient fuel.
Mm-hmm.
The only downside is it contains more pollutants. And that's why we've got to get rid of it. Unfortunately, we have to get rid of it. But it's got better fuel economy than fuel. Than petrol. But it's just one of those things, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we're just at the end of...
It doesn't produce the exhaust sounds that Wendy likes.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about the fact that diesel is dying, but petrol is dying as well. I don't think that diesel is worse than petrol.
No, I think they're in the same category right
exactly,
now.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no way of separating the two and saying that the one's better than the other. There's just the worst of the two evils that you have to decide on.
Mm.
And for a consumer, getting efficiency... getting distance, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think OEMs and governments have played onto that, but we're learning more as we go, and we can only learn from our mistakes and, you know, information that we're given.
Yeah, exactly. We've got to do our part to save the planet. That's why, you know, I'm all too happy to get rid of the air pollution and the noise pollution.
100%. I agree with him.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
So... you know, talking about diesels, BMW is a big diesel manufacturer, right?
Yeah.
In the past. And I mean, they're also moving to a greener future, so that's no slight on BMW. But the reason I bring up BMW is because, as we mentioned in the beginning, we've got our very own Martin Pretorius, who's going to discuss the BMW 420 diesel.
Mm-hmm.
With us, the new 420 diesel with the new Beaver grill. I think the Beaver grill is going to be more of a talking point than anything else.
And I hate it because I hate the fact that it's going to be more of a talking point. It is more of a talking point, but I love that car. I think it looks stunning.
I've got my opinion on grills. We can talk about it just now. Let's get Martin on board. Martin Pretorius, how are you?
Hello, George. Very nice to be back.
Yes, very nice to have you back. Nice background there. It's nice and clean.
Yeah.
I know people with some really nice facilities.
Well,
no names.
It's not, it's who you know, right? So, Martin Pretorius is, you've joined us to talk about the BMW 420 diesel. And before this, we were talking about the diesel engine and its history and the fact that it's actually more efficient than the petrol engine. And I think the talking point here, though, is going to be more around the Beaver grill than it is going to be about the 4 Series itself. You drove this car. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the Beaver grill is one of the more euphemistic names, but we'll get to the looks just now. First off, let me tell you that it is every bit as brilliant as I expected it to be.
It's
a really, really, really lovely car, even with this comparatively low output diesel engine.
What do you mean low output diesel engine? Is it down on power?
No. Just in comparison to the top one. The 420 diesel has 140 kilowatts and 400 newton meters. But the fast one at the moment is the M440i, and that boasts 275 kilowatts and 500 newton meters. So it's almost double the power when you get to the really fast ones.
This is the entry level 4 Series, though, right? This is kind of... If you're trying to get into that segment of a coupe that looks sporty, this is
let's call it the mid-range model. The one I drove was equipped with M Sport kit, and it's about 50,000 rand more expensive than a 420i coupe.
And, you know, we were talking about exhaust noises a little bit earlier on. And, you know, on this diesel engine, the 420 diesel, or even the 440, the exhaust tones, are they concentrating on it as OEMs as much in a diesel engine as a petrol engine?
They're concentrating on making them as quiet as possible.
Ah.
Yeah, the noise regulations specifically in Europe are... So the manufacturers are simply tuning out as much exhaust and engine sound as they possibly could.
Lovely.
And then they add it for the benefit of the car's occupants through the speaker system.
Does quieter mean more efficient, though? Does that making the vehicle quieter kind of detract from the performance of the vehicle?
Not really. Look,
because that's a perception.
Technology and engine technology has increased or has improved in leaps and bounds over the last few decades. To put it in perspective, 140 kilowatts is almost as much as the immortal 325i Shadow Line made.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
that's interesting. So
this is at the entry level.
And that's, yeah. So tell us, you know, is this car underpowered? Is it got enough power? You know, would you drive it every day?
I absolutely would drive it every day, but there's a proviso. We'll get to that later. It's not underpowered. It's not hugely powerful either, though. So it doesn't overwhelm you with power. Let's call it gentlemanly and steady, rather than blistering. Still, it's quick enough. I mean, it runs 0 to 100 kilometer an hour sprint in 7.2 seconds.
That's not bad for a 2-liter engine.
For the slowest 4 series, it's actually not bad going.
And inside, I mean, BMW has always been a car with nice interiors, and you know, where Mercedes moved to a more plastic feel at one point, and I see they've kind of backtracked on that. They've got a lot more luxury inside their cars now. BMW's never gone there, seems to be. That's my opinion, anyway.
No, look, the new 4 Series is just about as lovely inside as a 7 or an 8, for that matter.
Yeah.
It's touch, soft touch plastics and touch sensitive switches, and you know, everything has a nice tactile feel to it when you operate it. So it feels substantial and it feels well engineered. The design is also up to BMW's latest standard, but it's just funny to know that there's an iDrive controller right here, but there are still about 20 buttons scattered around it.
Yo, okay. Well, and what is this 420 diesel going for?
Well, base price in M Sport trim, as I had it, $888,900.
Is that expensive for what it is?
I think it is a bit expensive for what it is, for the simple reason you can get an Audi A5 coupe for about 50,000 less, with exactly the same power outputs, but with the advantage of all-wheel drive as well. Then again, it's equivalent in the Mercedes-Benz range, the C220D coupe, also retails for about 880,000. So the BMW is the most expensive of the lot, but I think it's good enough to actually justify the price premium.
Let's get to the elephants in the room, though. That grill, is it going to detract buyers?
That's a very difficult one to answer, and I can actually understand why BMW went that route. I do not approve of that grill at all, especially in M Sport trim, as this test car was, which has like a dot matrix grill, and you can see right through it, down to the bumper stiffener and the polystyrene, the gray polystyrene, and some aluminium braces behind it. It actually looks unfinished as it is. Yeah. And then there's the number plate in the middle. So from all other angles, the new 4 Series is beautiful, but
not head on.
If the front end comes into view, it just spoils the whole thing.
Well, you know what?
It will affect sales is an open question. What do you think, George?
I think that moving to an electric car future, this move with this grill is odd.
It is, because you don't need a grill.
Yeah, so with an electric car, you don't need a grill. There's no reason for airflow to go through the front of the bumper or the bonnet. So for me, why not move to a world where you get consumers used to a smaller, smaller, smaller grill? Why go bigger? I don't get it.
They say it's to establish a revitalized brand identity.
But that brand identity, are they going to put a grill in an electric car?
Well, I wouldn't. It's not really necessary, as you mentioned.
Maybe it's like putting a loud exhaust.
Trying something different. I think they're trying something different with these cars, just for the sake of trying something different.
All right, then very lastly, Martin, your score out of 10 on the BMW 420 diesel.
Apart from, if this car, the specific test car, was a Grand Coupe, in other words, the four-door one, I would have given it 9, and it would have lost a full point for that grill. In Coupe form as it is, let's make it an 8.5. Because it's prettier than any of the others, but it's also not really practical for my needs.
8.5. All right. I mean, 8.5 is pretty high still.
Yeah, I will take it.
It is.
I think it's
like I said, it's a lovely car. You just, unlike a horse, it's best approached from behind.
as a BMW fan who actually likes this car, I think to each his own. So.
Exactly. Well, that's our very own Martin Pretorius. Thank you very much, Martin, for joining us today, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Martin.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Our very own Martin Pretorius on the BMW 420i. So, my bad. The BMW 420D, not 20i. The new Beaver grill.
Yeah, which we heard it there, 8.5. It's not bad. It's not a bad rating, but we'll see what happens. We'll see how the market takes it, and we'll see how they like it.
Exactly. So now on to our last part, which is everyday people send Auto Trader motoring-related questions about all things car buying. And Wendy, what's the first question for today?
First question comes from Plush16, who is basically, on the topic of diesels, looking for an SUV diesel for town driving. You know, they've done some research and they found that the X-Trail has had some issues. But really, they just want to know if, for instance, the X-Trail does have this clogging issues because of the diesel, or what are the other options for them?
The phenomenon that that you mentioned, Plush16, of getting clogged up relates to the exhaust particulate filter, DPF to be exact. It's a real problem, and the X-Trail and Qashqai are just two of a long list of vehicles. They're not alone that suffer from this issue. It's caused by the car being driven for short distances. Now, we said this last week, if you remember. Somebody else had a question, should I buy this car? Depends on the use case of the car. If you're going to use the car for short distances only, don't buy a diesel. Because you're gonna suffer from this problem, so it doesn't give the DPF an opportunity to reach its optimal working temperature. That's what you want to do with this this diesel engine. But believe it or not, diesels don't suffer as much of the fuel saving in town driving as on long distance. So you get a second benefit with long distance diesel driving. You don't get that benefit in town driving either. Okay. So
you have to kind of compare, or rather think about what you're going to be using the vehicle for.
Use case, exactly.
It's just, I don't think there's a direct answer to this. I think it just depends
on how you're going to use it. Exactly. So what's the next question?
So the next question comes from Tabo, which is something that I have wondered basically my entire life, which is, what happens if you pour diesel into a petrol engine? Why do people always say, don't do it?
Pour diesel into a petrol engine. Well, I suppose the long and the short of it is don't do it. Okay. Yeah. But if you inadvertently do it, like first of all, when you get to the filling station, the nozzle sizes are different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So quite often you can't put one, I don't know which one's bigger and which one's smaller.
Yeah, I have heard the same thing.
Yeah, but the nozzle sizes are different. Mm. Okay. For petrol and for diesel in terms of the filling station. But if you do inadvertently put petrol into a diesel engine, I'd rather do that than put diesel into a petrol engine.
Okay, is there a reason?
No, I lie. The other way around. I'd rather put diesel in a petrol engine than put petrol in a diesel engine.
Is there a reason for that?
Because if you put diesel into a petrol engine, all you're going to do is dirty the system.
Yeah.
The diesel is too thick to go through the jets.
Yeah.
And it clogs up the system, and you just, all you have to do is get that flushed and your car will operate.
Okay. But okay? Don't drive it. That's the kind of the main thing is as soon as you make that mistake.
If you make a mistake, don't drive it. Okay. Because you're going to clog up the system. You're going to have to get it cleaned. But if you put it the other way around, so if you put petrol into a diesel engine, I mean, it's not going to ignite anyway because there's no spark. Mm. But if a diesel engine does ignite petrol, it's going to be worse. You're going to actually make the engine break because you're going to have an explosion inside there that engine can't deal with. Mm. So at the end of the day, just don't do it.
Just don't do it. Yeah.
Exactly. Last question.
Last question comes from Nathan, who's asking, buy or fix sump? So this Nathan, essentially was on a trip and some gravel essentially damaged the vehicle. So they just want to know if they should fix it or just get a replacement for the part that's been damaged.
In every scenario, I would get a replacement. Mm. If you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere and you need to get the car out of there and your only option is to have the sump repaired, welded, whatever, do that as an interim fix.
Okay, but not long term.
But not long term. Chances are another crack's going to form on the repair. I would rather replace the sump than try and repair it.
Fair enough. I think that makes sense. I think for anything, really. Mm. Replacement's never going to be as good as...
Fixing's not going to be as good.
Fixing's never going to be as good as replacing the entire part, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's all we have time for. So it's been epic. My name is George Minnie, and as usual, Wandile Sishi. See you next time.